The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hey, everyone. I'm the JVL. Here with best friends, Sarah Longwell, Tim Miller. It's been a day.
I'm happy. It's in our little thruple here. I felt like I was carrying all the emotions last week, and it's like when another person is feeling emo, sort of like in your marriage, you feel like you've got to be the rock, and I feel like I got to be the rock for you today, JVL.
I don't feel any emotions anymore. I'm dead inside.
Who hurt you today? What happened to you? What was bad?
It was the RFK hearings. It was sitting through 2 hours of this lunatic being treated like just another, you know, shirts and skins political battle with mostly incompetent Democrats and mostly entirely morally repugnant Republicans. And this guy sitting there saying things like, it is, you know, many people I know had a harder time kicking and getting off of SSRIs than they did getting off of heroin.
Well, that tracks.
Or saying that, you know, it is so important that we let parents drive things and get, you know, and get the doctors out of there, you know, to get the Washington bureaucrats out of healthcare decisions. And also, I want to make sure that I'm looking over the shoulders of your pediatrician if he is prescribing some form of ADHD meds, because kids shouldn't be on ADHD meds, because he fucking knows anything. He's less of a doctor than I am. I'm sorry.
17th a doctor.
Just starting out filibuster. And then the thing that got me most was when he was talking about like the things he once said that people said were conspiracy theories, but turned out to be true. And he talked about how, you know, people said that the COVID vaccine would prevent you from ever getting COVID. Who the fuck said that? No one said that. That was never a claim with any of the COVID vaccines. It was never good. They just say things like this. They say, oh, everybody said. No. Was there somebody on Twitter who said that once?
He also said that none of his conspiracies, he can't think of any of the things that he's ever said that turned out not to be true.
Anyway.
He can't think of a single thing that he said that is not true. I thought my favorite moment.
Today's the day I turned into the Joker. Like, you know, you don't know how I got these scars. Like, you know,
you've been on the path for a while. I thought, Sarah, the best segment for me was Marsha Blackburn was asking
Mensa member Marsha Blackburn, one of the most towering intellects to ever serve in the upper chamber.
Yeah, she was asking RFK about Dr. Oz's nomination. Now you might know that, you might not have paid attention, it's hard to keep track, but that Dr. Oz is going to be in charge of CMS, Medicare and Medicaid. RFK talked about his new, soon to be underling, Dr. Oz, in the management of our healthcare services, but then misstated the agency that he would be running. Sure. And Marsha Blackburn had to correct him. Like, I think you meant CMS. It's like, sure. When Marsha Blackburn is up there being like, you know what?
When she's the intellectual in the room.
It's like, I don't know if you know exactly the details of what you're talking about managing this agency. That's not a great sign that he, you know, he really did his homework. Also, his math skills seem a little off. Cullen, a friend of mine, was messaging, and he's been watching a lot of RFK stuff, and he thinks that the brain worm has prevented his ability to do math at all.
Oh, like, are you going to do the number of children covered by Medicare?
Yeah, he can't do any math.
Or number of babies.
I don't know if that's true. Sounds good. I'm going to defer to Cullen's expertise on this. He's been following him for a while, and he can't do math on the spot is his theory. We should test that out at some point. But no, he was asked how many kids are covered by Medicaid, and he goes 30 million.
How many births a year? 30 million, and we have like 4 million total births a year, and whatever. Sarah, I got to hear what, because Tim and I did, I don't know, 6 or 7 hours on this shit show already. And like I said, my soul has left my body. I'm just a husk. And I am curious as to know what you make of all of this.
I don't know why you guys are complaining. Doing these live streams during the hearings are the easiest gigs around. You just have to sit there and let your eyes get big occasionally. Because if you talk during the, like, if you do analysis, the people in the chat get mad because they can't hear the hearing. They don't actually want your analysis over the hearing. They just want to hang out. And I appreciate that. I think that's a healthy way to, like, approach this. Like, we're all just going to, like, be together. So I don't know if you guys did a lot of, I actually had the same problem. I was watching Sam and Will, and Will was talking so much. I was like, you know what? I got to go watch C-SPAN so I can.
Can I just
turn off our own live stream,
guys?
I didn't even try to get into you, but hold on one second.
Why were you watching? I was being paid to watch. That's the thing for me. I don't know. Like, if you could just run a video of me looking at the camera instead of me actually watching, that would have been better.
Like in the heist movies, I was like, you know, the hacker taps into the internal security feed and replaces it with an old feed where there's nobody in the hallway. Yeah.
I loved the part where he said SSRIs. He knows people have had a harder time coming off SSRIs than heroin. And because it's like that scene in Trainspotting where he has to lock himself in the room and he has to get all the ice cream, you know, and he's got to, like, you know, make sure that that's just him coming down off 10 milligrams of Lexapro. You know, that's just like, I got some sertraline in my system and I got to get off of it. And it's just, I got to lock myself in a room for 7 days with all the snacks. And I'm going to get the chills and I'm going to, like, nearly die from it. I'm sorry.
I just have to interrupt because I don't want people to get mad at us here. It many people coming off of SSRIs do undergo a very difficult withdrawal period. I'm not making, but this is the comparing that to heroin is like comparing having COVID to pancreatic cancer.
Like, guys, there is a whole methadone clinic industrial complex to help people get off heroin because it's such a problem. Also, that's what opioid addiction is.
Basically. We called it the opioid crisis. Kellyanne Conway was in charge of solving that during the first Trump administration.
This is, yeah, Javen. No, it's a fair thing to say. This is not about the fact that it can't be hard to come off SSRIs. It's right. That
very hard for many people. This is a known side effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is why I'm sorry. I just want to make sure we didn't sound heartless on this. Please continue.
No, it's just, I mean, it's like a doctor, if the doctor's like, oh, you know, you have pneumonia, that's very serious. It's a serious thing you have. And also you have cancer that is stage 4.5, you know, like, and they're, I'm going to tell you they're the same, or that actually, like, the pneumonia is worse.
And pneumonia, for many people, pneumonia is worse than stage 4 liver cancer.
Yeah. The hardest thing about these hearings is watching Republicans like Marsha Blackburn corrected him. The rest of them just do this thing where they're like, we know you're a moron and we know you're a conspiracy theorist. So I'm just going to talk about how much it just warms my heart that we are the bipartisan party that are here to work together. And we're going to heal this country, guys. And thank you so much, RFK, for talking about all these things that are so important now, like getting red dye out and all this stuff. Like, you're going to make America healthy again. I worked in the Republican sort of firmament during the times when, like, Bloomberg was trying to,
The soda ban and all that. Soda ban. He was trying to make people healthy by being the nanny state.
Yeah, we ran ads of him in like a nanny costume.
I think the Republicans are into that now.
Well, not Michelle Obama. Many people have pointed this out, but it is true that Michelle Obama was pilloried for saying kids needed healthier lunches. And today we were treated to a Tom Tillis tale of checking the garbage cans to see all the food that's thrown out by kids, because actually I couldn't tell where he was going with this. Is the food
not healthy enough?
What
I can explain it. Can I just explain it real quick? Because this exchange was the thing that drove me over the edge. And luckily we've boarded up this window right here by me for lighting purposes, so I can't jump out of it. But that, because it explains your exact point perfectly, Sarah, which is Tom Tillis's point, which he gave in a very which he had phrased in a way that was very condescending towards Democrats and towards anti-RFK people somehow, despite the fact that he was completely undermining his whole argument, was that back when he was a Republican that didn't like the nanny state and that hated Michelle Obama, or I don't know, Big Mike, as he probably called her back then, he would go into schools and look in the trash can and see healthy food. And his point was that there was unintended consequences of the healthy food program because the kids, instead of eating their lunch, ate Snickers. That was his point. And so, but that point is in utter contrast. Everything that RFK says. But he was trying to tell the story in a way as if it was in line with RFK. But then he didn't actually ask him a question. All he did was wag his finger at the Democrats who don't understand how smart him and RFK are.
Yeah, so, and Tom Tillis is on my shit list right now.
Yeah,
because Tillis is the one, right? Tillis is the one who did that thing where in Pam Bondi's hearing, where he said, I wouldn't even deign to hit you with a ridiculous hypothetical like the Democrats are trying to say, like you and President Trump would ever pardon the people who committed violence against cops. I walked past those cops at the end of the January 6th. Right. I walked past those cops. That would never happen. I will not insult you by suggesting that as a hypothetical. And there Tom Tillis is again lecturing people.
I can't.
And when Donald Trump did do the pardons, Tillis was like, well, I wouldn't have done that.
You know what it makes me yearn for? Ted Cruz. At least Ted Cruz is fucking shameless and does not insult my intelligence with this shit. You know, I mean, Ted Cruz is just, you see what you get. It's just total snake oil shamelessness all the way down. The Tom Tillis thing, trying to pretend like he is on some sort of moral high ground here and that is the really bipartisan and thoughtful one, I fucking can't.
So, Sarah, do you have anything more to say about this this utterly unserious farce, this insulting farce that we witnessed today?
I guess it's a question of whether I want to do my rant on Madison 10.
I'm sorry. There is no either. The answer is both. I want both of your rants.
It's whether I do it now or whether I do it,
Sarah,
or whether I do it a little bit later. Here's the thing that is, and I'm sorry to sound like a little political science-y here. Our government is structured so that ambition counteracts ambition, right? Like, A big republic like ours, this is like Federalist Papers stuff. This is Madison. This is the way that you secure a republic that is going to be rife with factionalism is that you set up a government with three distinct power centers. You have Congress, you have the presidency and the executive branch, and then you have the courts. If the executive branch controls the congressional branch, if the congressional branch completely abdicates its power and serves at the pleasure of the executive branch. So if Mike Johnson, instead of saying, wait a minute, I'm the Speaker of the House, I've got a role here, we have the power of the purse, we've passed a law. Instead, if he says, I just do what Donald Trump says to do, and he abdicates that power, and the Senate abdicates their power of advise and consent in these hearings, which is what I'm watching, and they just do whatever Trump wants them to do, literally our system of government doesn't work. It does not. It is designed to not work this way. And the founders, I don't think, had a plan for Congress just being like, oh yeah, we're going to do whatever the executive branch wants. And then the only backstop to that is a court where they're pretty much going to let him do what he wants to. Not always. Amy Coney Barrett, she can be a bit of a maverick on that. But at least there's two votes from the jump. If Donald Trump says, yeah.
For just, anything.
Yeah. I'm telling Congress to put a gun to their heads. And Clarence Thomas will be like, those guys deserve to go.
I have a couple thoughts.
Unitary executive.
There actually is a system for this, which is where the head of a party gets to decide what the party does, and the legislative branch goes along with it. It's a parliamentary system. They've got it. And you're so like, maybe we should just shut this whole fucking thing down and go to that, because we wouldn't be in this place.
Figure out what the hell's going on.
Yeah, we wouldn't be in this place. So maybe we do need to break down the whole constitutional order and rebuild it back up and copy the Europeans. Because like, honestly, because Donald Trump would never be the head of a system such as that. Like, we created this, like, we've now the worst of both worlds.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. I'm open to that. But the other funny thing about this, I tried to get into this with Mona today. Me and David French talked about it a little bit, is like the big conservative win in the court of the last court was Chevron, which essentially says that agencies can't do things that aren't specifically prescribed by Congress, right? That was the big win. It takes power away from the deep state and the bureaucrats. But now, like 2 years later, the big thing now is going to be, I had to listen to Ben Shapiro talk about this today. I turned on the Ben Shapiro podcast. He talked about it for like 20 straight minutes. I have no idea how anybody listens to that.
You watched RFK grind through that hearing with that horrible voice of his. And then you were like, oh, I want to hear a castrated chipmunk talk more.
I was. I don't really know why it came to me today, but I was like, you know, I've never actually listened to his podcast. I haven't listened to it in a while, at least. And I was like, I wonder what he's been saying about all this. Unbearable. But anyway, his whole rant was about impoundment and about how the agency should and the executive should be given the power to stop doing things that Congress did appropriate. So in the new unitary executive theory of these guys, what the administrative branch can't do things that Congress hasn't specifically, you know, legislated, but they cannot do things that Congress has specifically legislated. And that is, I think the Supreme Court is going to
now.
Yeah, it's just
this
Calvin.
Is all of conservatism. So, yeah. This evening, as we were getting ready to come out, the White House released its executive order on education, and the party of states' rights and subsidiarity and letting, you know, trying to put power as close to the parents as possible has all of these diktats for how your school, wherever you live, is going to teach everything. Otherwise, they will lose federal funding. Hmm. And so you have a party which is at once states' rights, also small government, also we're going to abolish the Department of Education, and also we're going to tell you how to fucking teach stuff because we don't want you telling anybody about Harriet Tubman, you know. And it's all incoherent because it's all about power. It's just autocracy. That's
can
all
we
it
talk
is.
About, can we talk about impoundment for 1 second? Because this is also part of where I wanted to like center my rant, is around the OPM, OMB, the freezes, right? Because it's illegal. It depends on, so if your theory, so impoundment is, just so people can follow this, because this is going to be one of our new vocabulary words of the Trump era, where suddenly everyone's right. going to be like, it's like the Hatch Act. It's like, I didn't know what that was. And then like, I heard it a million times and now I know what the Hatch Act is. All right. So let's talk about impoundment. Impoundment is that people who believe in the unitary executive theory, which has been kicking it around conservative legal circles for a long time, but it's like Brett Kavanaugh is a big unitary executive theory guy. It allows POTUS, the president of the United States, to freeze any spending that Congress has approved. So now here's the thing. It's not actually constitutional. Like, there was a Impoundment Control Act that was passed in 1979.
It was after Nixon. I can tell you this because I just heard Ben Shapiro talk about why it was stupid for 17 minutes on the way to school pickup.
So, why yeah, the Impoundment Nixon. Control Act is stupid?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it was passed in order to have Congress have the control of the power of the purse as it is constitutionally mandated, just the way the Senate's advise and consent role is constitutionally mandated. And so it is illegal for the president to just freeze things that Congress does. But that happened today. I mean, although I don't know what state of, are we thawed? Are we froze? We froze it. We rescinded it. We froze it again. We rescinded our rescission. I learned another new word, which is what was rescission, I think was the word.
Been rescissioned.
So yeah.
The memo that was drafted and then amended and then rescinded and then rescised.
And then tweeted about. If the Democrats, a Democratic president, were just freezing congressional spending and just like taking all the stuff out they didn't want to do.
It's which Biden kind of like, did you know, we don't have a line item veto, so we're just going to create a line item veto. Right? I mean, that's what this is.
What?
The line item veto.
Effectively trying to create a line item veto.
Which was also declared, which is also the Supreme Court also said it was unconstitutional. They tried to do that in the 90s.
Right. Yeah. Anyway.
RZA.
So that's what impoundment is. And it's illegal. And so, and unconstitutional. But here's what he's just going to test. Everybody. He's going to test the courts. He's going to test Congress. And he's going to say, Congress, you want to give me your power, don't you? And guess what Republicans are saying? They're saying yes.
Please take our power. Don't make us come up with any ideas.
Can I talk about this OPM thing, though, for a second? Because we've all been guilty about this a little bit. And our friends at The Atlantic, who wrote this today? Paul Rosenzweig, who I really like. That like wrote an article about how it's not amateur hour anymore and how these guys know what they're doing. And like, I get the impulse and I have found myself dabbling in it from time to time because Russ Vogt does at some level know what he's doing and isn't an idiot and has thought about this. And it's not like the nominee for OBM has control over what every court in the country is going to say about their orders. And so at some level, it's somewhat more organized than the last round, which my old buddy Reince was in charge of, but like, it's not that much better. I mean, like this, the whole story with these freezes is like just basically the Muslim ban again. Right. And it's like the same thing. It's like, and it's like it's a Muslim ban with like slightly more legal rationale behind it. Right. Like we're going to do this thing. And we're going to be kind of vague about it, and we're going to let your lawyers interpret it. And then when it gets objected to, we're going to narrow it. And then we're going to keep narrowing it until we get a friendly judge. And then we're going to basically do what we wanted to do originally, but in a slightly different form, right? Like, isn't this actually the same as 2017? Aren't we in Groundhog Day? I don't know, JVL, you're making a face like
you feel like I think it's different. I mean, so I think in 2017, what happened was, everybody was thinking about what to do for the very first time beginning in November because absolutely nobody, including Trump, thought he was going to win.
That's true.
This time, you have a coterie of people who have spent 4 years thinking about what they want to do. It's just that those people are a bunch of heritage dweebs who were basically in a 4-year blunt circle with Curtis Yarvin and the Bronze Age pervert. And like what you have is their slash fiction. And so it's like they thought it through, but these are people who don't, you know, a few of the people there are subject matter experts. A lot of them are just like, I read The Cube and The Cathedral 15 times.
And then also the next layer down from the Russ votes is like, it's hard to find people for this sort of thing. I mean, they're building a bench slowly but surely, but like if they succeed in the authoritarian project by 2038, they'll have some people who know what they're doing. But like, I mean, it was... Was it Vice or one of the Wired? Wired had an article where they found out who the deputy chief of staff at the...
It's like a high school senior.
acting OPM young, they didn't include his name.
They cannot put his name in the article. And they are like, it's like a kid who interned at Neuralink, who I guess like bumped into Elon in the hallway and said, man, I love you on Diablo 4. And Musk was... You know, it was like, oh, you seem like a small boy.
And yeah. So he's the deputy chief of staff at the acting OPM. But so, sure. Right.
Look,
so,
is that any more ludicrous than Robert Kennedy being secretary of HHS?
No.
It's not that it's ludicrous. Here's my question on this, because I had the same thought that JVL did, which is like, okay, this is all the Project 2025 stuff. Like part of this is they did publish this in advance. We did know it was coming. They tried to pretend like they weren't going to do it, but of course they were, and we all knew that. And now they're doing it. And so you do have all these heritage weirdos who are trying to implement, yes, like an actual ideological vision, of which Trump cares very little, right? And so, but to do what they're doing, and I think this was the thing that's happening today. So like, to Tim's point, I also saw Rosenzweig Atlantic article and I went, no, I don't think so, man. Like, I agree velociraptors have learned to turn the doorknobs a little bit. They came in prepared with like the Project 2025 plan, but their implementation is still being done by morons. Like,
yeah,
it was moron. This, it was embarrassing and should be embarrassing for them. And we should be pointing and laughing at them today because they had no idea what was getting cut and what wasn't. Like when they froze it, they didn't know what was going to be frozen. And so they were not prepared for what was a raft of politically unpopular pushback. The reason they caved on this one quickly is because it was like, people were suddenly like, wait, Meals on Wheels, wait, 85% of the federal government doesn't live in Washington, D.C. And you're talking about a bunch of people who are like the civilian military people who support them. You know, you're talking about everybody's retirement check who's ever worked in the government, like the amount of pushback they must have been getting and hearing. And so Trump does not like things that are extraordinarily politically unpopular and make him look like an asshole, which is why he distanced himself from Project 2025. And so just like so many of the things where the Trump promises, like Doge, how does Doge square with Trump saying he's not going to touch Medicaid or Social Security? It doesn't. Like, you know, this has a contradiction in it as well, where like they just did a bunch of stuff that are politically unpopular. And I bet Trump went, what are you clowns doing? Knock it off.
Yeah.
And like, there's nobody to fix that.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I think that it's, I actually think it's likely that both of these things are Elon directives, because, but like people have cottoned onto the idea that the attempted buyout of the entire federal workforce is exactly what he did at Twitter, and he even used the same title of the memo. But the other thing people have forgotten, I haven't seen anybody say this, one of the things Elon did was when he came into Twitter, he stopped payments for everything. And, you know, the people who worked in the Twitter, you know, like finance division were like, no, you see, we have to pay our bills. And if we don't, and Elon was like, I don't care. Let people sue us to collect their money. They're not going to do that. It'll take forever. And so Twitter just stopped dispersing money. And that is what Elon is trying to do with, like, the federal government. It's the same thing.
Can I just, on a point of order on this, I read your triad today, and I think that I don't know where the buyout language came from exactly. Like, who first called it a buyout? That's not what it is.
I have part of this wrong. I'm doing a correction tomorrow.
Okay, because it is just that they are going to pay people through September.
Maybe.
Well, true. Well, no.
There is nothing binding. The Just Security people just did a long, long piece on this. It is absolutely must reading for anybody in the federal workforce, which basically is, don't believe any of this. None of it is legally enforceable.
Yes. So this is the one thing I did want to hit, just as if anybody in the federal government's listening, do not resign. Don't resign. If they want to fire you or move you, make them. Because what will happen is you will accrue the time that you work there until they get to firing you, right? And that will go toward your pension. That will go toward, obviously, your public service. So that's one piece of it. But also, then if they fire you, you will get severance. Yeah. And so you want that. Like, it would be, this is the, what they're trying to do is be like, if you tell us you'll resign, we won't make you come back in. We'll let you continue to work from home. You will continue to work, and we will pay you until September. It's not a buyout.
But also, there's no guarantee that they will do that. There's no guarantee they will accept your resignation. This is the other piece, the other thing, the Just Security piece.
No, they do have clear severance, though. The severance is...
Right, but they don't have to accept. So you could say, I resign, and they could say, great, that is nice to know, and write that down on a list and not accept your resignation, and then use that to target you down the road for termination. Or this is another reason not to, right? I mean, the whole thing is, again, like, I'm sorry, hitting reply to an email and typing the word resign in the subject line is not a legally binding contract. That's not how this works. It's not how any of this works. So don't, even if you really want to do this thing, don't do it right now, and don't do it this way. Talk with your lawyer or your union rep.
It It definitely was Elon. It definitely was Elon on the whatever non-buyout thing. But the OMB stuff was just like, again, it was just these Project 2025 guys. And there is a, like, if it wasn't for the fact that, like, we're living in hell and there's no way to possibly enjoy anything about this, there's something delicious about the fact that, like, Trump was distancing from Project 2025 in the campaign because he correctly intuited that these ideological dweebs political project was about as popular as fucking hemorrhoids, and he doesn't need to be associated with it, right? And so he won then, and with that tactic contributed to his victory. And then he gets in on the transition, and like, while he's golfing and getting visited by the richest people in the world who are gargling his nutsack, the team that is doing the hiring then goes and hires all the Project 2025 people with the unpopular policies that he was trying to distance from. And then those people begin to implement Project 2025, which is unpopular, and there's a backlash to it. And then Trump today is like, whoa, according to the John Swan report that came out like 2 hours ago, it's like Trump was, you know, it's back to the Jared and Ivanka stories from 2017. We literally are in Groundhog Day, where it's like, whoa, Trump and Ivanka didn't know about this thing that Bannon was doing over here. You know, instead of Trump and Ivanka, this time it's whatever, Trump and his shadow president. So like, that's where we're at, right? And but the question is like, they will continue to do a lot of their unpopular stuff, and it's just only going to get stopped when there is a kerfuffle about it.
Pay attention. So people ought to be making kerfuffles.
Exactly. That's right. Where I was landing.
This is the opposition.
A sense
party
of like saying you should do nothing. Yeah. Yeah.
Can I just hit with one piece of messaging advice on this though?
Please.
The Trump guys are smart in that they know to go after, like, they started with DEI as like a target, like anybody who's doing DEI stuff, like it's the same way they really focus on the
criminals,
immigrants who've committed crimes, not just the crime of crossing the border, but an actual additional crime. And right, they know that those things are unpopular and that nobody's going to fight them. Nobody's like, oh yeah. And Democrats right now won't, right. The Democrats just lost on these issues. They are sitting there being like, I'm not going to bat over like the DEI and the government. So don't focus, and don't focus on a bunch of federal workers, and don't focus on DEI or the environmental justice stuff. Don't do that. Progressives will get wound up about those things, and it will trap them into talking about the stuff that basically is unpopular about Democrats right now, who are currently enjoying the lowest approval rating in the country that the Democratic Party has experienced in a very, very long time. So don't do that. Talk about Meals on Wheels. Talk about the social programs that people value and that are so much a part of the firmament that people don't even realize it's government run. Like, there's all these things that people have taken for granted for a long time that are part of what the government does, and where there's real harm to real people. Not that, of course, the people in the DC federal government are real people, and I don't mean to suggest otherwise. I just mean that is not your sympathetic group, right? You are talking about a bunch of people who are career civil servants in DC. Like, there's a lot of people in DC who will care about that. There are not a lot of people in the country who will care about that, but they will care that these guys.
Abigail Spanberger should talk about that in her governor's race.
Sure, because they're talking about Northern Virginia, but that's not most everybody else. So focus on the harm done downstream. There's a lot of it.
NIH. Maybe like grants going out to cancer research,
kids, right? Pediatric cancer research. Yeah. No, there's a ton of things that are extraordinarily harmful about this.
Yeah. Basically all hospital workers, right? Again, so like when people have bureaucrats in their head or people that are affected by this, like they're thinking about like, whatever, you know, like people that work in the Department of State, you know, and have houses in Georgetown. It's like, essentially anybody that works at any hospital at some level is associated with the government system, right? And so, and in addition to people that go to hospitals, right, which is everybody, oh, like, right?
But like,
yeah, just think about all of this stuff. Like, you know, because they don't know what if the Medicaid system is down, but like that is creating chaos and like meetings at all these places. And you know, it's not like not all the doctors voted for Kamala or nurses or people that are working in these systems. So that's just one other example. Like it isn't even necessary. My point is it isn't even necessarily just people that work for the government and for NGOs. It's also people that work for other parts of the system that touch those programs.
Hey, Tim, just I want to go back to the Rosenzweig thing for one second, yeah, just sure. to say people are succumbing. Look, it is true, and people should live in reality. Republicans are at a high water mark in popularity. Donald Trump is at a high water mark in popularity. Democrats are at a low ebb in popularity, and a bunch of things that they've been holding on to for a while got blown up in terms of people thinking like Democrats lost the fight on immigration. There's a lot on the trans issue that they've lost, and on a lot of this DEI stuff. Like it is deeply unpopular, and they're going to have to grapple with how they sort of reconfigure a message to the American people that resonates. They are still clowns and morons, and they are failing. And we should hit them over this. This thing today.
Are they failing?
This today was a reminder. Not that I was happy about it, but I did watch it and go, yeah, they still can't do this. They're still the most unserious, clownish people. They're going to do so much. What are you talking
about? RFK or the OMB?
All of it. All of it.
Okay.
You know, a few weeks ago when you were like, let them get it, let them experience it good and hard. I mean, we're sort of in that. Like they are, it's like the scary thing, right, is if they come in and they look just buttoned up and polished. They know exactly what they're doing and they are executing it ruthlessly and vigorously. And instead it's like, oh no, we're still a bunch of idiots who have no idea what we're doing. Like, yes, they're a little bit better, but like we should not overstate this idea like they are now in here knowing exactly how everything works and they're like crushing it. No.
Well, I tell you, the thing that they are really going to crush is the deportations to Guantanamo. I guess my one area of disagreement with your point there is I'm not even sure that their immigration agenda is going to end up being popular. I mean, there are going to be elements of it that are, for sure, elements of it that I don't like that'll be popular. But, I mean, it is already such a shit show. I mean, Adrian's reporting on this today is so good, like how it is trickling into communities. I had a text from a friend. We're trying to run down a story about almost it's too delicious to share, actually, who the type of community leader that might be getting deported. And the Guantanamo thing, like, I don't think people I Googled this. So I'm just going to assume everybody else was not quite as informed as me. He was like, we're going to put 30,000 people in Guantanamo. I was like, how big is Guantanamo again? Like how many people? So I was Googling this. There were 860 people in Guantanamo at its peak. Like they had built it in such a way where if they had to house 1,500 terrorists, they could have done it. And Trump is just like, we're going to send 30,000 people to Guantanamo. Isn't that
good real estate? Couldn't you put a Trump Tower down there and just turn it? I mean, it's near a beach. It's there's water views. I feel like there are better use. I mean, surely our great businessman president.
I mean, I guess, but you know, even Donald Trump, the most efficient builder that the world has ever known, you know, even him, I don't know that like it takes a little while to build.
You know, put the Burj Dubai down there.
28,500 units, housing units for the migrants. I don't know. I think that the early moments, because let's just to be serious though, to level set, like even I was thinking this, right? I was like, you know, the area of this that will be that they'll know what they're doing is immigration, because they had a lot of time to practice the first time. There's continuity with Homans and Miller. They'll figure it out. And they'll do this thing to really put the Democrats in a bind where they'll just deport criminals from prisons in blue states and stuff. And they'll get the low-hanging fruit. And then this dumb left-wing activist will protest and they'll have this big winning issue. And like, I don't know. We're 10 days in and I'm not really seeing that. I see Adrian reporting that they accidentally arrested some Puerto Ricans. They, you know, accidentally detained a veteran in Newark, and Trump's proposing a concentration camp in Cuba. It doesn't seem like the things are, you know, trains are running on time, so to speak.
JBL? Trump hasn't proposed trading.
Dr. Phil was involved. That's true.
Straight up for Greenland. Because it seems to me that it would really actually mesh pretty nicely with the America First objectives.
To do what, trade?
Unload Puerto Rico. Just a straight swap with Denmark. Puerto Rico for Greenland.
Do you think Denmark wants Puerto Rico?
Who wouldn't want Puerto Rico? Puerto Rico's great.
I love Puerto Rico.
I'm sure the MAGAs don't love having Puerto Rico. It's a little, you know what I mean.
It's a little misaligned with Denmark geographically, I think.
I'm just saying. All right, listen, we got to move on.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food. And before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit. Track budgets and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
The Facebook, sorry, just Facebook, it's cleaner. We got word a few hours ago that they have settled their lawsuit with Donald Trump. Trump sued them for kicking him off the platform for $25 million, of which 22 goes to the Trump presidential library.
He needed a clean 10% on the VIG there in his actual pocket. Good enough. And
this case was a slam dunk winner.
For who?
For Facebook. Trump? No, for Facebook. Like this is one of those things where there is no universe in which they lose this case.
I gotta tell you, JBL, I'm sorry to interrupt. I wasn't paying attention to this case. No, I do care. I wasn't paying attention to this case. I saw the thing come across the ticker that Mark Zuckerberg is paying a $250 million bribe to Donald Trump, and I don't know anything about it. What was the case? What was the case over?
It was election interference, fraud, defamation, all of the things. Because there isn't an actual crime.
But it was right?
they kicked him off the platform.
It was just over the deplatform. It wasn't over slimed or anything. No. Yeah.
And so wait,
do other people have been kicked off the platform now get to sue Facebook and get money? Because many people have been kicked off the platform. This might be the way to take down Meta.
But what,
I haven't because I behave online, but I know a number of people. It's not the trust and safety division was pretty tough for a little while there.
We now, Sarah, have this new, I mean, this is a real innovation where Trump has realized that a way to legalize bribery is to file ludicrous suits against people whose interests correlate with the federal government and overlap with the federal government. So that he can then accept money from them in a perfectly legal fashion in order to then do them favors and get the benefit of A, doing it all out in the open, and B, having the entire thing then cloaked in the mother of all NDAs.
Yeah.
So this is now this is a thing he does now. This is a mode of operation. And Be real with me. No one is ever going to care about this, are they?
No. Well, especially not Facebook. I mean, like, ABC was go away money. Right? Just like, we can't.
I don't think so. I think it was Disney. Disney just wanted to make sure that, like, hey, we're cool. But, this is Disney. Right, like, you know, we're good with MAGA.
They weren't trying to. I think the difference is, right, so they were suing him. They didn't want to be in an active fight with the president of the United States. They were like, we'll settle this. Here's your money, whatever.
CBS did it because they have a merger pending with Skydance.
That's right. Zuckerberg, imagine how the Zuckerberg thing happened. He ponies up $1 million for the inauguration. He goes in and says, like, we're boys now, right? And Trump was like, yeah, well, you know, you guys kicked me off your platform. Sure. And that made me angry. So, and Zuck says, well, yeah.
You got to go kill a guy for us first.
We got
if you want to get in the gang.
We can put that thing to bed. And Trump says, yeah, it'll cost you $25 million. And Zucker's like, yes, sir, Mr. President, sir. And that's how you get back in the good graces. I feel like it's a different level of groveling with Zuckerberg, like a different level of, because the other guys just want to be like in business and not have Trump targeting them. Zuckerberg wants to be in the Elon Trump like boys club.
Will anybody ever care about this aside from the three of us and like the people listening to this?
Well,
because we're gonna look
it's
back
unbelievably corrupt.
Yeah,
right. I mean, I guess I don't know. As you know, JBL, I'm just gonna have to keep reminding you about this every week. I don't care whether people care, and I'm not. Maybe in 2027, I'll start caring about whether people care. But I'm done caring about whether people care. People are stupid. I do among people that might care though, or that haven't demonstrated that they care, is Facebook employees. It's like on the list of people that are on my shit list, it's hard to get through despite all the hours of content we're producing a day, all of the people on my shit list right now, because it's such a long list. But like in 2017, in January 29th, 2017, employees at all of these big tech companies were organizing. Like there were mass protests. There were protests in the cafeterias. These fuckers had to do like struggle sessions in front of their staff where they... you know, hit them where they put on the hair shirt and, you know, kind of hit themselves with one of those, like one of those things called like the plants that you hit yourself with in the BDSM movies. Anyway. And they're not doing any of that now. Like, they're not doing any of that. Like there's nothing, there's no, like, where are they? Somebody forwarded me one thing where like one guy at Facebook quit. It kind of felt like he was already on the way out, and his letter was kind of like, what's happening in the Facebook Slack or Microsoft Teams or whatever they use over there? Like, isn't that, it is pretty strange to me.
SpaceX with all these idealists at SpaceX who.
At least the SpaceX people are actually doing something. I don't know. That's potentially good for humanity, but yeah, I sure. But Tesla, like, I don't know. There are a lot of people that have a lot of RSUs. The Facebook stock, I know that Joe Biden was so hostile to big tech, so hostile that, you know, all of these guys got radicalized and had to support Donald Trump and ruin our democracy.
You've seen that big tech lost so much money over the last 4 years.
Yeah, but the Facebook stock went like this during the Biden years. So, like, there are a lot of people that work at Facebook that had a lot of RSUs that are doing great that could just say right now, eat a dick, Zuck. Even better, they could leak to me their emails with Mark Zuckerberg. But if they don't want to do that, they could just say, eat a dick, Zuck. I'm going to go work for a nonprofit, or I'm going to go, whatever, buy a ski chalet and bring my kids there. And where they're going to order to put them in school in Park City. I don't know. Like, all these people have a lot of options, and there's nothing. I've heard nothing. Basically nothing. Right?
Yeah.
That's pretty depressing.
Anyway. Because we're in a different kind of collective illusion than we were in 2017. I don't want to belabor some of the stuff we talk about often, but like, people have normalized, right? Their nervous systems have normalized to Trump, and also I think there's like a real, like physical self protection to going back to the same level of urgency that people felt in 2017, 2018. And I think because Trump is a lame duck, there doesn't feel like an obvious thing to do, right? It's like, if it's 2017, you're like, okay, we got to win the midterms and we got to defeat Trump, right? And Democrats at the time were feeding off the energy and were trying to like, be like, I'll be the hero. I'll be the hero. And this time, there's no leadership on the Democratic side. Nobody's trying to present a contrast. And I was also,
From Phyllis Fong.
Who?
Phyllis Fong. Phyllis Fong.
Yeah,
you know about her? No, you're going to know her name soon. You know her name soon. She was the inspector general that got escorted out of the USDA today by security. And I'm starting to whisper her name who's the character in Silo that everybody starts writing her name on the walls? I'm going to start doing that for Phyllis Fong. She might lead us out of the wilderness. She's the one that has shown courage.
There was just such a rush last time to sort of like capture the energy and to be leaders of movements. And it's not, that's not happiness. I did see Schumer talking about how aroused people were. And I thought,
that's great.
I'm around.
It, man.
This guy's up for the. So speaking of
Juliet, thank you, Juliet Nichols. Thank you, Silo Watchers. Juliet Nichols, Phyllis.
All I'm saying is, I think it's on us. I think we're the leaders that we're looking for.
You are now producing 97 hours of content a day, so we are destroying. We are eating our souls from the inside out for the good of this country. So maybe it'll all pay off. Speaking of normalization, yesterday, Caroline Leavitt, whatever her fucking name is, held her first press conference. She, I believe, floated the now we know is a lie about $50 million in spending for condoms in Gaza and didn't have any idea about 72 million Americans being kicked off of Medicaid. But the New York Times ran a big old piece about her press conference. I want to read for you the headline and then just some of the words that are in this piece. White House press secretary makes steely and unflinching debut. Subhead.
A modern day Joan of Arc.
Caroline Leavitt used her first briefing in the role to warn veteran reporters that they were increasingly irrelevant. See, I don't know if you guys understand. I'm a wordsmith. And so that sentence means that veteran reporters are increasingly irrelevant and that Caroline Leavitt was simply warning them of it. It is a true fact. She was anyway, some other things, words from this piece, steely, unapologetic, punchy, unflinching, twisting the knife, wasted no time, betrayed no fear. This is how access journalism works. Why does a piece like this get written? It does not contribute anything.
I know.
To the audience's understanding. Go ahead. Miss Longwell.
Is it so the new press secretary will give them scooplets?
Yeah.
Better White House access?
And this is why I really think the media bears so much responsibility in all of this. And it isn't because they like carried water for Democrats or whatnot. It's because they practice this, again, utterly bankrupt access journalism. And they exist to serve their own interests and not the interests of their audience.
I don't know. I'm pretty interested in all the new podcasters and folks that are going to be in, like, that's, if I were the New York Times, like, what the, it is a, they've now got to compete with what Charlie Kirk gets to come to the White House briefing.
TPUSA got a question at the briefing. Turning Point USA got a question.
So this is, New York Times has to get extra access-y now.
Fuck these people. Gaza condoms. So she not mentioned true. It, I believe, and then Trump mentioned it today, and nobody has provided any evidence that this is true at all. And the evidence we do have is that the spending on this, like the spending numbers we have on these things, make it seem utterly impossible.
JBL, I'm sorry. This was, we haven't seen any evidence yet, but I think it is of a piece with what we know to be Genocide Joe's ethnic cleansing strategy for Gaza. Mm. He didn't, it's anti-natalism. He didn't want them to have any children. And this is why the people, the wise people of Dearborn put Donald Trump into the White House, because, you know, it's all, it was all part of the Genocide Joe effort. So, you know, I'm sure things are going to be great for the people of Gaza under the Trump regime.
Can I put in a, do you ever take requests for the focus group?
In what way?
Just like, you know, like listeners call in and say, Sarah, could you put on a very special focus group for me consisting of XYZ?
Gaza protesters? Is that going to be your...
I do from time to time, actually.
Here's my request.
Okay.
Making a long distance dedication. I would like Dearborn Trump voters, and I would like you to ask them about Donald Trump's belief that the West Bank should be ethnically cleansed and Gaza should be ethnically cleansed so that they can build like high rises and stuff, and that all of the Palestinians who live there should be shipped to what, Egypt and Jordan? Was that where you said Egypt and somewhere else? Anyway, because I would really love to know these people's thoughts about this stuff.
Could you do that for me?
I can tell you without doing that focus group what'll happen.
Go ahead.
They will say, that's not true. I haven't heard that. And then you'll show them maybe a clip and they'll be like, I don't know. He doesn't mean it.
Yeah, well, we'll just see. Maybe we wait a couple months on this, because I think that the news eventually is going to pile up in a way that's going to...
Trump has just reauthorized the 2,000-pound bombs. Like, I do think that maybe this is the kind of... Like, these are people who are single-issue voters, right? I think
that news will trickle
down. This is their single issue.
I think you probably have to wait for a little bit. Like, here's the thing. I have been doing focus groups.
How are they going?
It's bleak, man.
It's early.
And here's the thing. And I don't know that this is the right time to discuss this, but obviously I've been thinking a lot about strategically what is the right way to think through this moment. Because I think there's from a lot of us, including me, I have this desperate desire to do something. But there's just no doubt that Donald Trump's going to get his 100-day honeymoon from voters. And they're going to be like, let's see. Because right now people are very much like, well, I'm optimistic and things were so bad and, you know, I'm going to see what he could do. And here's the other thing, JBL, let me throw something about, I know. You know, one of the reasons I love focus groups is that you can gauge intensity in a way that you can't in a poll. So in polls, it shows that pardoning the January 6th people is very unpopular. But I asked a bunch of these voters who voted for Trump, but in a very transactional way. They were actually Biden to Trump voters. They had passed over Trump in many cases twice, at least once, and this time they went for him. And I asked them, you know, what they thought about him pardoning the January 6th people. And they were like, yeah, I don't love it, but whatever. They got too harsh a sentence. Like, they maybe weren't for it, but they also did not care. They just didn't care. And I think that apathy only changes once. And this is sort of why I was saying the thing about OPM. You got to get to the part where people feel personal consequences. And we're just not there yet. Like, we're in this. And so it's not that nothing matters. And I think that things will matter. I just don't think they're going to matter yet.
Yeah. Also, I don't know. I'm sorry to keep doing this. What? I don't understand why we have to care about this right now. Like, we don't, I don't, you know what I mean? I just, like, there's not a fucking other election for 13 months. I do think that there is, like, I think it's part of the Democratic depression right now is that everybody, I don't know. I just feel like everybody has trained themselves to think about politics as if it is like how I watch the Nuggets. Where I'm like, I'm down because the Nuggets lost on Monday. Well, the good news is the Nuggets play again on Wednesday. So maybe we'll win and I'll be up, right? There's not another election for 23 months. Or whatever, 20 months. Like, there's not another election for a long time, except for Abigail Spanberger and whoever wins the New Jersey Democratic governor primary. So, like, I do think eventually people will start to be upset. And if not, we'll cross that bridge when they get there. But I do think that, like, people should probably detrain their minds to, like, only let their let happiness in if the polls show Donald Trump is unpopular next week, because it's going to take a little time.
Yeah, it's more that. And here's, I am not suggesting that people don't fight right now. I
think we should fight now. Yeah.
Every day. And every day they should be taking the things like happened today and trying to tell people, see, this is what clowns do. But also so much, but if people are thinking, man, aren't voters really regretting this choice right now? The answer is no, not yet. He's going to get a honeymoon phase this time in a way that he didn't last time, which doesn't mean give up or doesn't mean feel depressed. It just means, like, understand the dynamic is different this time.
Yeah, I agree with that. And some people are misunderstanding me in the comments too. My comment does not mean, like, just sit around and do nothing until 2 years from now. I'm like, yes, yell, create kerfuffles. That was my point at the beginning. Be mad, shout, but, like, don't, like, we can't expect that there to be some total vibe shift in the country by Valentine's Day. Like, that's just not realistic. And it also doesn't matter if they're like, well, we're a long way away from any of that. So, anyway,
I guess I'm just trying to, on JBL's LOL, nothing matters. I'm like, don't think that it won't never matter.
Right. I agree with that.
Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck, or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge, upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
How are the Catholics
doing? Does that cheer you up? Does that cheer you up,
Jamie? my wife and Flash, my oldest, both asked me prior to coming on the show to specifically not say some things. And so I'm going to specifically not say those things right now. Okay. Other news, we'll get to Catholic stuff in a minute.
What were those things?
I'm not saying them because I'm not thinking them either.
That's great.
Nothing to do with measles. So we had some
other
news.
Whooping cough. I see the whooping coughs have been making a comeback.
Other news today, because these are, again, things that would have been administration-ending events that now nobody even notices. The Department of Justice filed its intent to stop pursuing the case against Trump's two conspirators in the classified documents case down in Florida, because that is, I guess, classified documents, mishandling of things are no longer interesting to Republicans, and it's no longer a matter of national security. I bet like less than 1% of America even knows this happened today. And again, this would have been a right, like George W. Bush takes office, and the first thing he does is he directs the Clinton Justice Department to stop pursuing the that's it, right? We then have months of investigations, and
I mean we know this to be true because the George W. Bush Attorney General had to resign over political firings of career attorneys. Like that happened at some point in the mid 2000s.
But I want to throw something else on the fire. We also have word that the Trump Justice Department is in talks with Mayor Eric Adams, my mayor of the five boroughs in New York City, about maybe making that case go away. And then Bob Menendez shuffled out with his gold bars today and said, President Trump was right. This process is political and it's corrupted to the core. I hope President Trump cleans up the cesspool and restores the integrity to the system. In his little Muppet voice. And so this is now a thing. If you are a criminal in politics, doesn't matter what party you are, if you just go MAGA, maybe Donald Trump will pardon you. And again, no one cares. The Republican Party is now literally the party of criminals and criming.
Yeah, man.
No one cares.
And kooks and all the anti-vax conspiracists have all lined under the party too.
Yep. I am not
is
saying
President
any of those
Trump
things,
cleaning
Shannon.
Up the cesspool. President Trump restoring integrity. A guy that was a Democratic senator 2 minutes ago was like, "Yeah, Donald Trump might restore some integrity."
Yes, this is from a guy who was stealing gold bars from people. Of course he thinks Donald Trump is good. He has terrible judgment and is probably a bad person and a criminal himself. So Donald Trump is basically like, you know, his king. You know what's funny is that I saw the news about him getting 11 years and I just like ripped off a tweet being like, yeah, he's just gonna say some nice things about Donald Trump.
Yeah, you did do this, didn't you?
Yeah, I was like, he's going to say some nice things about Donald Trump, punch a cop in the face, and go try to get a pardon. And I was like joking. And it was like 8 minutes later, he held a press conference to be like, Donald Trump really had this right. The only thing missing was him punching the cop in the face.
You know the funny thing?
He couldn't reach. He's a very little man.
Well, and he wouldn't want to do... I mean, that has already happened, actually, from a released January 6th prisoner who did try to resist arrest and then got killed by a cop. That already happened in Indiana.
There was another January 6th prisoner that also got killed today.
Yeah,
another
two of
one.
Them. Yeah, two of one another one was in a shootout. So yeah, so Bob wouldn't want to get killed because he still wants to stay alive and get his pardon. You know, the thing I was thinking about was what a sucker Bob Menendez was. Because had he just created a Bob meme coin, the Turks could have run that baby up to the moon, you know, and he could have cashed out.
Filed some lawsuits against some Turkish import-export businesses for defamation, right?
What was he thinking of the gold bars?
Settled them.
What was he thinking? He needed to learn from the king.
It's, I don't know, Sarah, like, why shouldn't I say nothing matters? Because again, these things are
it's depressing
so superficially.
And it's not the end
absurd.
Of history, so no.
But the fact that the American citizenry looks at this, to the extent they can even be bothered to look at it, just shrugs. Like, I don't know. Like, why?
Why I don't understand how this is changing your life. I guess this is my question for you, JVL. I don't know. I don't know that Sarah's successfully making you feel better, so maybe I'm going to take a swing here. Well, I don't understand that you hated people before. Mm-hmm. You don't speak to anybody except for your children and your lovely wife and us when we're on a live podcast. Yeah. Right. Those are the only people you speak to. You don't like community. Mm-hmm. You have a very negative view of your fellow man.
Yes.
And they've all proved you correct. Yes. Okay, over the last 3 months. So I don't understand why this is getting you down.
Why don't you just be happy about being right?
Yeah, you're correct.
Be wrong.
This doesn't change your life in any meaningful way.
I want to be wrong.
Yeah, the seven people you talk to are all stalwart still. You know, I'd understand you were sad if Favorite came home from school in a red hat, but that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Well, let's go. You know, we're going to try to make it to the post just for you, Barry. Sebastian.
I have to put my child to bed eventually. So let's close on this.
Sebastian.
He's still up?
I'm in trouble. I said, we remember when we were trying to schedule this? I was like, I'm supposed to do bedtime tonight. My husband's out of town. But I was like, whatever. I will just let her stay up late. Don't tell Tyler. So nobody tell Tyler.
The National Pro-Life Summit. A man of the cloth, and I'm just going to call him a man of the cloth. His name is Calvin Robinson, was a speaker, and this happened.
This is the last stand for Christendom. It's make or break time. The whole of the old world is crumbling. Every country in Europe is embracing death. America, as far as I could see, is the only country fighting for life. And that's down to you guys. So God bless all of you for what you're doing. Please keep doing it. I hope that I can encourage you. And my heart goes out to you. God bless.
Who is that person?
Yeah, who is that guy?
Get it? Get it? The shit lips think he's doing a Nazi salute and the Pepe face.
Does that guy matter? Who is that guy?
He's just a random priest.
No, not a priest. So
an Anglican priest.
Father Calvin, well, not really an Anglican priest either. So Father Calvin Robinson, not really a father, not really a priest, you could tell was trying to dress himself like a priest. He's actually wearing the Nicolas Cage costume from the opening scene of Face Off, where Nicolas Cage is the priest setting the bomb in the airport. Yeah. And he's a Brit. He was in the Anglican Church, left the Anglican Church, sort of bounced around, and is now at like a breakoff of the broken off Anglican Church, and identifies himself as like an Anglican Catholic. The answer is like, he's basically, he's a priest the way Dr. Phil is a doctor.
Hmm.
You know, he's just like, you put on the cassock and you get a church that'll pay you to be the reverend. And, you know, you can call yourself anything.
Sounds like a prime candidate for deputy HHS secretary to me.
Is Dr. Phil a medical doctor?
No.
I have no comment about that. Allegedly. There. See, we just say the word allegedly and you can say anything.
Maybe. I don't think so.
But here is what gets me. What gets me is the reaction from the crowd. So you have all of these supposedly earnest pro-lifers who just care about babies, and I'm an earnest pro-lifer. I care about babies. And you have this guy up there who is representing himself as a priest, even though he's not really. And he does this Nazi salute, and he knows exactly what he's fucking doing, because you see, again, his Pepe smirk. And the people there just think it's fan-fucking-tastic. These people are a bunch of ghouls. Ghouls and monsters. And I don't know. Like, I look at that and the world is full of performative assholes. This guy is just another one of them. the crowd reaction to this?
I don't know, JVL. I just think that, you know, we should probably turn to somebody who like really understands what the mission of the Catholic Church is, like recent convert Vice President J.D. Vance, who like was really focused on it. Like, and he's just out there saying, you know what, the Catholics are really, this new church that I joined, they need to look in the mirror because I think they're on the take for the illegals. All right, that's what he said on was it?
Did you see this, Sarah?
No, what?
Yeah, J.D. Vance is like the Catholic Church, the Margaret Catholic Brennan
U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, the USCCB. Yeah.
Margaret Brennan asked him about the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops criticizing the immigration plans that the administration has, and J.D. Vance, in the same smirk as that asshole, was like, you know, I think the Catholic bishops got to look in the mirror. They've been getting a lot of money for repatriating illegal migrants.
These and they might so just much be money for repatriation of migrants. And this is all that.
They might just be doing this for the cash.
But I actually just didn't understand it because do they get cash? Like, I didn't even understand the point.
Oh yeah. They got their they got their fancy shoes and they have nice little houses.
If anybody was ever spent any time with Catholic Charities, the people who work at Catholic Charities are rolling up in their Lexuses. And now this is, I mean, the truth of Catholic charity world is that everything is done on a shoestring and most of the heavy lifting is done by volunteers. Absolutely nobody is making any money off of this shit.
I have a question. Sebastian, where'd you get this from? Sebastian trying to help us out here, gave us the exact quote, but he quotes it. Whoever wrote this writes, Vance, a devout Catholic, sharply rebuked. CBS. That's CBS News. There you go. There you go. Great. A devout Catholic, CBS News tells us. I'm sure that JD is just following the catechism to a T. Loving thy neighbor, that part of it, and that's kind of the woke Catholic stuff. That's not the real good stuff. The real good stuff is just
the eye for the eye.
Being the trans people.
Clothe the naked, feed the hungry. That's woke socialist bullshit.
No. To be a devout Catholic, all you gotta do is show up and be mean to trans people.
Yeah. So that's part of it. That's part of it. I mean, Sarah, do you see any, like, what you give me a little, you're being very quiet here. Are you sundowning?
No, I was trying to decide whether to argue with you over like what he was doing and decide.
Oh my God. No, I need to go to bed. I need to put my child to bed. We can't do that.
All right. I won't just calm down.
Calm.
It's like they were in like, let's go Brandon territory now where that's going to become.
Yes.
A symbol that is, it's a meta symbol. It's a symbol.
Yes.
So, but what he is saying, it is a symbol of your overreaction, JVL. It is to him, and what the crowd is responding. Now, I agree. Like, this is supposed to be like religious people, but it's now an in-group joke over libs tears over things that they are misinterpreting.
Sarah, you know, here's the thing though. As somebody who used to participate in this, you know what else was an in-group joke? Among me and my 16-year-old buddies at the fucking all boys high school. Yeah, jokes with the K word. Like those are all racist jokes. We're in group jokes at my white school. Like
is the K word?
My point is that when you're within a group of people that are all making racist jokes, but the joke is that like we're not really racist, it's a meta joke about how other people overreact to us being racist. Like the line between that and actual racist jokes like becomes very blurry. The blood-brain barrier begins to, you know, you get to get lost there. And as somebody that participated in that when I was 15 and didn't know any better, I can tell you that it's a dangerous game that you're playing.
Let me throw this out there for you. And it's just
I should have known
nice
better.
A nice way to end, maybe. Maybe what we need to do is take the power of the Nazi salute ourselves and adopt it. And the Nazi salute should be the resistance symbol to each other. When we meet people and we give them the Nazi salute as our, like, yeah, you guys think you're we're gonna fucking go Nazi on you.
Yeah, I don't know.
You go first, Sarah.
No,
I agree with JBL, but since you're the publisher, I think you should do it first and then lead the way.
Here's what that guy did that was smarter than him, which is he said, "My heart goes out to you," as he did it, as
that's
opposed
what we should
to
do.
Doing
all the time
the salute and then following it up. Okay, hold on. This is what I was going to say, something to try to make JBL feel better and our audience, because I have a real thing.
Really past my kids' bedtime.
Everything is overreach and backlash, and we've had long overreach and backlash swings throughout history, and that time frame, because of the world we live in now, it gets shorter, smaller, and I believe that the backlash is coming. The overreach is happening. I believe the backlash will come. I don't think it will be like, I don't think it will feel like it feels right now forever.
Okay. So that's nice. But I would like to not have to wait for the overreach of Operation Barbarossa before we get the backlash of Stalingrad. Like, I would like to avoid going that far. But, you know, our fellow Americans, the great and good American people, they want to see exactly how far we can ride this overreach. It's great. It's great. Great, great, great.
This has been great. This is another great next level.
We should
podcast.
Do a lot of these nighttime live shows on YouTube. This is a fabulous idea. I really think that our guys, thank you for supporting us. Although maybe you want to reconsider that now after this 90 minutes. We gave you the super.
Stop saying it's 90 minutes because we have several things we have to cut off for the regular people tomorrow. So it's not actually going to be 90
you
minutes.
You know what?
For
when the regular people get to this part, they're going to go, crap, I should have listened to the live thing. Then I would have heard it all.
That's true.
All right. Friends, thanks. Sarah, I'll see you on Friday. Tim, I'll talk to you later.
We're around.
Thank you to our friends.
Hang in there, JBL.
Thanks, guys. You're the best.
Good luck, America.
Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Grow connects you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights and weekends. There are no subscriptions, no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/try now today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/try now. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.